First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. You can also just ask your smart speakers to play ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz, and we'll start, as we do every day, with the headlines that you need to know. We've got some rival coaches coming together. Football coaches Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach were part of a contingent from Ole Miss and Mississippi State addressing the state legislature Thursday, lobbying for the Confederate emblem to be removed from the Mississippi State flag. Quote, "We removed the flag from our campus 5 years ago, so we've made it clear that it doesn't represent who we are at Ole Miss," Kiffin told ESPN. Quote, "Today is another big step in doing our part to move the state forward and ensure a more welcoming environment for everyone. This is extremely important to me and to our players. Time to change." Remember that this comes on the heels of Mississippi State running back Kylin Hill tweeting earlier this week that he would not, quote, represent the state anymore until the flag is changed. So rival coaches coming together and at least using their voice to try and affect legislation. Next up on the headlines that you need to know, the voice of a player, New Orleans Saints safety Malcolm Jenkins, has said the risk surrounding the coronavirus, quote, has to be really eliminated before he would be comfortable returning to play this season. He's a 12-year veteran, a member of the NFL Players Association Executive Committee, and he appeared on CNN Thursday morning in his new role as a contributor for the network. His quote, "Football is a non-essential business, and so we don't need to do it. So the risk, you know, has to be really eliminated before I would feel comfortable with going back." Strong statements from a player that's expected to contribute on a team competing for a Super Bowl. Those are the headlines that you need to know. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, ESPN App. And let's start with some first things fits. We're trying something new. We're just going to start with my take. As we've taken a look at everything going on in the NFL, it's easy to say that the season's going to happen and there'll be no issues. I think everybody's a little shaken, though, now seeing that the Hall of Fame game is not going to happen. It's officially been canceled by the NFL. Now, it raises a question. How much does a preseason game matter? And I can understand completely for anybody that says it's just preseason football. Who cares? But it's not. It's not just a preseason game. It's the flagship game that signifies the kickoff to the entire season. It's the moment where the league turns around and acknowledges some of the best players in history. It's a moment that's become sort of the worshipped beginning of the way the NFL is going to give us a season. So to me, it would be far less significant if we were watching a regular preseason game be canceled, a later preseason game be canceled. But what we're seeing instead is the kickoff to the NFL season is not going to happen. Now, I understand that there's a far cry to get from preseason to regular season, but this, at the very least, is an indication that the NFL continues to say, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, that man being COVID-19, right? Pay no attention to this, the distraction over here. We're going to move forward with business as usual. Well, as much as they've said business was as usual, we now know that their first opportunity to actually present business as usual won't be happening. It has me worried that we should be thinking more about the possibility that the NFL season won't go on as we all think it will. I want your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. No Hall of Fame game. So what's that do? Where are you? Do you believe that we'll have an NFL season? Are you confident in it? Are you not confident in it? When players speak out, when you see these things change, what's it do to your take? I want to start with some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless doesn't play games. Get the unlimited plan. 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. Just $45 a month. Saves you up to 50% against the big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. And the Straight Talk comes in the form of Stephen A. and Max giving you their take on whether or not the Hall of Fame game cancellation is an indication that the NFL season could, in fact, be in jeopardy.
It's preseason, okay? I mean, people were looking for an excuse not to have preseason games anyway, for crying out loud. I understand the Hall of Fame was not, the Hall of Fame game wasn't one of those games. But nevertheless, we all talked about how the preseason needed to be limited. Why put yourself at risk for safety issues when we were talking about concussions and various other injuries to player? Now you got the coronavirus pandemic, COVID-19, for crying out loud, where it's a respiratory issue that could potentially ravage your health even more significantly? No. I'm not concerned about this at all. As far as I'm concerned, it falls right in line with what I anticipated was going to happen. We're not going to see a bunch of guys out there performing. We're not going to see a bunch of guys out there putting themselves at unnecessary risk, which certainly falls under the category of a preseason game. Let me take this one step further. Injuries in football happen all the time. This is clearly not an injury. You're talking about a virus. We understand how potent that is in comparison to bodily, physical bodily injuries that take place. I'm not trying to draw the comparisons. What I'm simply pointing out is when we talk about the potentiality of guys not being able to play because they may contract the virus or what have you, in the sport of football, more so than any other sport, you see injuries happen every single week that end seasons, potentially end careers, certainly derails dudes for weeks upon weeks at a time. So if there is one sport that has survived by being able to afford losing bodies along the way, and I don't mean losing it in death and things of that nature, please don't take it wrong, but if there is one sport that can afford to move forward and move on devoid of bodies, it is the National Football League, because it happens to them every single week. I'm not concerned at all. This is not something in the road that derails them by any stretch of the imagination. I expect the season to start on time. I expect it to go through its completion. Yes, I do.
Of course, this means the season's in jeopardy. It indicates that. And Ezekiel Elliott explained to you why, Stephen A. It's not about the player's health. Just as the pandemic, in spite of irresponsible, selfish politicians who get contributions from big business and are therefore willing to put the American public at risk, even though those messages go through, they miss the point. That's true. Most NFL players' lives won't be at risk compared to maybe even the general population, considering how healthy many of them are. That's never been the issue, taking personal risk. It's that you're risking the lives of others, the infirm, the elderly. And people have those people in their family. Ezekiel Elliott spelled it out for you. It's not so much us, he said. It's older people, parents, grandparents. They're literally, you're putting their life at risk. It's not about personal risk. It's about not spreading the disease. And that is going to be exceedingly difficult to do. Those who subscribe to magical thinking or this imperative that the economy must get back will fool themselves into thinking, well, we'll get this thing in. I agree with you, it'll start. I don't know if it'll start on time. I think the NFL season will start. I think we'll get some games in. I do not believe they will finish. It takes the most sober view of this thing, the most careful planning to pull this off in the absence of a vaccination. Not just a vaccine, but scaled up, a vaccination that could be delivered to people. And I don't see that happening before, say, January or February. No. Dr. Fauci said, he said that there, it's not a matter of if, but when. But even if a vaccine is available or created by the end of this year, it's not going to be scaled up in time to get it to everybody. The first few months into 2021. Hey,
let's first take your take on ESPN News. And this is where it starts to get complicated, because I hear Stephen A. when he says it's just preseason, but it's not. I mean, the NFL has been very clear. Think about it. This is a league that went on with the draft, even when people thought maybe they shouldn't. This is a league that has found virtual ways to do Zoom meetings so that they could continue to keep their calendar going. It's a league that, frankly, was questioned when they decided to start free agency in the middle of all of this. But what did they do? This is a league that every single time they've had the opportunity to step back has instead looked at the world and said, nope, we're on target, we're on pace, and we know what we're doing. That's been the message for the NFL all along. So yes, it's just a preseason game being canceled. Frankly, a preseason game many of you wouldn't want to watch anyway. But again, when you combine the fact that it's the kickoff event, it's the kickoff preseason game. Yeah, that means it's an extra one. Maybe that makes it even less valuable. But when you're talking about the kickoff event where the NFL has all eyes and they can show the world that we are going to plow ahead and nothing will slow us down, especially when they're doing it in a place like Canton, Ohio, where they have better control, I would think, of all of the things that are going on around them. And if the stadium needs to be empty, it's less of a deal. When you combine all of these factors together, that's why I do think it is reasonable to say, uh-oh, Houston, do we have a problem? I mean, the NFL can't continually tell us that everything's going to be fine, can't continually tell us that there is no B plan that we need to know about. They're just going to go ahead. They can't continually tell us, hey, we're going to let every single team decide how to handle their own stadium being full. We're going to let municipalities govern this. We're going to let government decide when and where and how we can play because we're going to be comfortable with it. You can't say all of those things and then turn it around on its head by canceling this event. I can't let them have both be true. Look, I want to believe as much as you do that we're going to have an NFL season. I do believe that we're going to have some version of an NFL season. Why? Because like so many of you guys have tweeted me right now, it's about cash, right? The amount of money that is lost suddenly if there's no NFL season will be staggering for the league, for their business partners, for TV people, for advertising, all the way across the board. I understand the economic impact that comes from a lack of football, be it college or pro. Right. I understand all of those factors. And that's why I believe there will be some version of the season. But if you're sitting back and you're saying, hey, the NFL is going to figure it out and it won't be a big deal, I would challenge you have two things right now you need to consider that show you that that's not the truth. Item number one, we've just talked about it. The fact that the Hall of Fame game is gone. Item number two was in our headlines. When you've got a Saints player and Malcolm Jenkins going in and saying football, this is his quote. Football is a non-essential business, and so we don't need to do it. So the risk, you know, has to be really eliminated before I would feel comfortable going back. Risk being eliminated, something Mac just talked about. Max said it clearly. We don't have a vaccine. We won't have a vaccine as far as any of us know anytime soon. So if the litmus test here is the elimination of risk, we know that that's not a possibility. That's why this has got to be remembered through all of it. As much as we continue to look across the landscape to figure out what the NFL is going to look like, I don't know that there's a simple answer because we expect it to happen. But then you start to see these real world indications where the rubber meets the road and it reminds you that what we expect is far more difficult to execute than we're giving it credit for being. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. I've asked you guys, and you can chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What's your level of confidence that we will have an NFL season? Plus, frankly, I've put out a tweet out there. I put out a poll. I learned from it before. You know, we got so many different votes on it. I put out a poll. At this point, we're very early in the polling, but so far 67% of you guys are it looks like you are concerned about the NFL season actually being played. So it looks like about 67% of you and varied responses. So I'm not sure exactly how you guys feel about it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But don't forget also to tune in to the ESPN Daily Podcast. Gets you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Now, we've talked about what happens with the NFL. Will they even start? Well, the next question on the minds of Stephen A. and Max today was about the NBA. What if we get a restart, an attempt at a restart, and everything goes to hell in a handbasket? What happens if the NBA restart goes wrong? The real question is, who has the most to lose if the NBA restart goes south? Is it players or owners? Stephen A. and Max chimed in on it today.
The owners, just as a statement of fact. I mean, listen, we could all say the fans, I get it, but like the owners as a statement of fact have the most to lose. First of all, they're the biggest stakeholders, including the players and everybody. Secondly, including the networks and everybody, the owners are the biggest stakeholders here. Secondly, they make their money in the playoffs. Like the players don't get paid proportionally in the playoffs as they do in the regular season, which means the owners get paid disproportionately in the playoffs. And that's really what we're talking about, a scant few, like how many regular season games we're talking about the playoffs here, which is a 2-month season usually in the NBA. So Stephen A., if you want to say the fans, I'll leave that to you. I think a case can be made. But the owners, the biggest stakeholders of all, have the most to lose.
I disagree with you, Max. I think it's the players. And the reason why I think it's the players is because of the force majeure provision, the doomsday provision in the NBA's collective bargaining agreement. If the games don't resume, and the season is officially canceled, then the owners have the right to rip up the collective bargaining agreement and start anew. And if they start anew, I've personally been told by several executives in the National Basketball Association, including at least two owners, that we most certainly will pursue a hard salary cap. And so when you take that into consideration, and when I say a hard salary cap, a la the NFL. Now, the players can sit up there and tell you no way in hell will we ever capitulate to that and what have you. But I would remind you that once upon a time, they were getting about 50% of basketball related income. It's now down to 50%. They'll go for less than that in the future. And so you're talking about the owners going for the jugular simply because it's not about being enemies with the players or anything like that. It's about the fact that there's an abundance of losses that they've accrued already, and they're projecting to lose even more because of advertisers and sponsors, them having lost money, the kind of dollars they're going to be able to throw into the coffers of the NBA. If we are indeed partners, then we are all suffering, which means we all need to suffer together. This is why you have to have a season. Chris Paul is a businessman. I think he's doing a great job as president of basketball operations. He knows what the hell he's doing. He certainly puts in the work and works diligently to understand what's going on. LeBron James, he's renowned as an astute business mind, not just a phenomenal basketball player. Andre Iguodala, I can't say enough about the things that I've heard about him and the kind of effort that he's put forth in making sure that the players are on the up and up in terms of their knowledge about what's transpiring, what's going on. We saw Jared Dudley issue a tweet weeks ago alluding to these very kind of things that I'm talking about. The owners are going to get some of this back. They are not going to sit up there and accrue all the losses by themselves. The players will suffer significantly. And unlike the owners, I don't think most players can afford to.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. And Stephen A. makes a really, really important statement there at the end when he talks about shared losses. Understand that one of the things that has made the NBA special to watch through some of these difficult times has been the way they seem to join together, the mutual respect that they have, and their ability to do business as a tandem. It feels like, as we've talked about so many times, NBA players have a better understanding of their value that they bring as a brand, as individual entrepreneurs, than maybe any other athlete. And as a result, they're able to better affect their own destiny. They're better able to come in and say, hey, I know where I can succeed, how I can succeed, and the way I can do it. So I want the power to be able to put myself in the best situations. It's that power and that mutual respect and that relationship that owners and players have that means that they've had shared growth. The flip side of that, though, is with shared growth comes the possibility, potential, of shared loss. This is no different than if we decided suddenly that a league was going to be paying players instead of by a set dollars amount, by percentages, for example. We've heard that argument before. Pay a percentage of the salary cap without ever acknowledging that maybe there could be a pandemic that suddenly took the salary cap and made it lower. Are people going to be happy playing for a lower dollar amount? It's the basic concept of being salaried employee, for example, or being a profit-shared employee. So, as much as we talk about who's going to be hurt right now and who it hurts more, well, the players, their value is so tied into the amount of money that the NBA makes. And that has been such a transparent conversation back and forth that I'm left to feel like ultimately what we're going to look for is sort of a shared gain becomes a shared loss. Who can handle that burden better? Who can take that loss better? Well, that's certainly the owners. They have more money. I mean, I know it's impossible to look at professional athletes and think of them as anything other than filthy rich because we see the dollars and cents of contracts. But to be real, whatever level of filthy rich you think is assigned to your favorite player, add a few zeros and then you have the owner of your favorite team. Now, we've seen Major League Baseball owners come out and speak to the fact that just because their franchises have value doesn't mean that they're rolling in the cash every single year. But that franchise having value is the one thing that they can hold on to no matter what happens to them financially. You know, if a Major League Baseball player doesn't make any money this year and neither does an owner, well, through all of that, who has more money sitting at the end? Well, the person that has the multi-billion dollar business. For the NBA, at this point, players will take more of the loss because it will hit them right now. Any reduction in revenue today is something that will affect players today and it will affect owners. But it won't affect owners' valuations of their teams to such a catastrophic level that they suddenly can't sell. The difference between the two people that we're talking about in this scenario, the owner or the player, is that when it's all said and done, if everything goes south and the entire process is ripped apart and you no longer have any cash at the end of all of it, if you're a player, you got nothing. If you're an owner, you still have a deed to a franchise that's worth billions of dollars. That's called a safety net. And that's a level of safety net that players simply don't have and can't have. So while they've all shared together in the gains that has made the NBA incredible, they will in fact share in the losses if this results in catastrophic losses. The problem is the safety net difference is a significant one. So First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I've asked you guys to chime in on Twitter and on the phones. How confident are you now that we know that the Hall of Fame game isn't going to be there, that there will be an NFL season? Are you starting to get nervous? Legal Shield Rob says there will not be a college or NFL season completed. Just no way. You know, RP118 says lifelong Raider fan. If the season isn't played or they play a handful of games or cancel the season, how's the draft order determined? These are great questions that we really don't have answers to. But Quinn on Twitter raises maybe the best question. How do you think NFL players will treat it? Hurt versus injured culture will come into play. Players play with injuries, even with the flu. Do you think asymptomatic, positive, tested players will still play? I think the difference here, Quinn, is that the flu, you know, if you have it, you know how it will affect your family and you know what it means for everybody that you interact with. There is still a level of uncertainty around COVID-19 that makes it more difficult. That's why I asked Damian Woody the other day when he was on with us, if he was a player today, would he play? And his answer was no. He'd look at sitting out the year if he had to, because people in his family have health issues. That's the extra wrinkle that makes it so hard to anticipate how players will react to COVID-19. Because remember this, the NFL can come out and say, hey, we're playing. The NFL can tell teams, do whatever you want, you're going to play. The NFL Players Association still has every right, and I believe they will as an organization, look around and say, is this in the best interest of the majority of our players? Not all, but at least the majority of our players. And when you have players starting to speak out, speaking about not being comfortable, it's at least a question to ask of how they'll attack it moving forward. I want more of your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Tell me how confident you are. Plus, coming up next, I'll ask about the NFL season. I'll ask, we'll try all of that next. Coming up next, I'll ask a former NFL player how concerned we should be about the NFL season after the league canceled their Hall of Fame game. We'll talk about it next. But first, summer means cool drinks from your fridge. Means beach towels from your dryer. It means ice cream sandwiches in the freezer, which, by the way, sounds like a delight right now. The Home Depot can help you make those memories with special buys on the latest appliances. And you can get your new appliances delivered for free. If you don't have the Home Depot app, go check it out. You can find what you want on the app. It'll even tell you what you have in store, where you can go to get it. And it will tell you how you can get your new appliances delivered for free. So start summer here, the Home Depot. How doers get more done. What will they actually get done in the NFL season? We'll ask one of the former greats next. First Take Your Take, ESPN Radio. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, especially presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Now, I've told you guys you can chime in on the Shell Penzo Performance Line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We know that we're not going to have a Hall of Fame game, and I know it's just a preseason game. I hear all of that. I still believe there's significance to the league coming out and canceling anything for a league that's been so stubborn in its calendar. I want your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. How confident, now that we don't have the Hall of Fame game, are you that the NFL season is going to go off without a hitch? In the meantime, we'll get to some expertise. We're joined now on the Shell Penzo Performance Line by ESPN NFL analyst Jeff Saturday. So, Jeff, what was your reaction when you heard about the Hall of Fame game cancellation?
You know, I wasn't really that surprised, in all honesty. I think I was more disappointed for the guys going into the hall as opposed to the game. I mean, the one thing I thought about even a long time ago was, you know, why would you expose, you know, these two teams in particular to an extra preseason game, move them out? If you have to do all the things that we're having to do during this pandemic to try to isolate people, to move them to another direction, it just didn't make a whole lot of sense for an extra preseason game. I'm obviously very disappointed for all the guys. I know it's being postponed, and but man, I love going to it. Edge going in this year obviously is huge for me. I mean, Edgerrin James, the running back that for the Colts that I played with so many years, and so those things are just. But as far as the actual game, I really wasn't that surprised. Now, listen, I'm not. That does not mean I'm giving a full vote of confidence that this season is going to go off without a hitch. That's not my. I just didn't think it was worth the risk to add, you know, a fifth preseason game to two teams. I thought, honestly, it was probably a little more unfair than the other way around.
So you mentioned the Hall of Famers, and my heart breaks for them as well. I think that's the most significant part of this, Jeff. What, in your mind, would be a proper way for them to get the acknowledgement they deserve?
You know, that's tough, man. I mean, I think you just have to wait until everything does get back to, quote, normal. And because I do think so much of it for me is being able to hear those guys share their stories of how they've gotten there, really thank all the people that have helped get them to where they are throughout their career, throughout their life, people who have left, you know, lasting impacts on these men who have had these fabulous careers. And so, I think whenever they do have it, you know, the same way that we've had it in the past, where those guys get, you know, get the opportunity, I think the game is always fun. I do not consider the game to be that important in comparison to celebrating the guys who are going into the Hall of Fame.
We're talking ESPN NFL analyst Jeff Saturday. Let me ask you, from a preseason game standpoint, with the risk that there is this year in playing preseason games, what advantage would that give teams, preseason football specifically, versus just doing some version of practice?
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. So for preseason, for guys, for teams that are established, so let's just look at, you know, let's just talk about rosters that you know are fairly established, like Ravens, Chiefs, 49ers, Saints, right? Like so teams that have not had a bunch of people moving around that had good seasons last year, those teams are going to be in a much better situation. Teams like Cleveland, Tampa Bay, like where it's a new staff, you have these expectations, it's going to be more difficult. And, I'm watching. I know that Brady and those guys are working out together and all those things. But at the end of the day, for football to work, you need to have all 11 guys there, and you need to be going live and guys moving around and having to make decisions, split-second decisions and be on the same page. I do think it's possible to do that in just practices. I mean, I'll be very frank. By the time, I hit my fifth or sixth year, if I got 10 to 12 snaps in a preseason game, that was more than enough. I mean, coaches always had more of a kind of nervousness of, hey, we're going to play three quarters in the third game and blah, blah, blah. But the reality is you get your shape. And you get so much work, all of your reps are really done in those practices leading up to it. And so from my perspective, I don't think it's a huge loss not to have them. You'd like to at least have one, maybe, just so you all run out there together, kind of a dress rehearsal for the back, probably 20 guys, special teams, those kind of things, just getting on and off the field together. The logistics more of football than the actual game, hey, make sure all 11 are on the kickoff return run, all those kinds of things that a lot of people don't think about. That's the real main reason for preseason, in my opinion. The starting 11 on offense and defense, you're going to get into a rhythm. Really, it takes you four games into the season anyway, Fitz. So at the end of the day, it slows you down, but it's definitely not a deal breaker.
We're talking to ESPN NFL analyst Jeff Saturday on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. All right, so let's talk about a little bit of the actual football drama going on right now in the form of Jamal Adams. It's being reported now that he's got a deteriorated relationship with Adam Gase, specifically the head coach of the Jets. When you're in that situation, what fixes it?
Oh, man. That is a tough question, because you don't really know what strained the relationship. Is this, there's so many different things that could fall into that. I think the honesty always goes a long way, right? Like getting each other in their same room, even with the general manager, everybody sitting down and say, hey, what can we do to make everybody feel, get back to that kind of, that kind of peaceful feeling amongst each other? What's going to give us all the sense that, hey, we can go do this together? I think you have to have those conversations. Let me tell you, you cannot win this thing in the media. Like, from a GM, from a head coach perspective, they need to bring – he's such a leader on that football team. He's played so well. You need to get him, in-house, make sure that everybody understands, man, we are for you. We want you to stick around. And just have the real conversation of what it's going to require to really keep him. And I think that's the only way. I don't think it can be like through the media, hey, we're going to try this or we're going to kind of – it just doesn't work. There has to be true face-to-face conversations about, hey, this is how we're going to get better. This is ugly, man. I mean, for one of your best players and from a team that's fairly depleted, for lack of a better term, in the New York Jets, man, you do not want to lose the back end, man. Good heavens. And a player of his caliber, that's a huge loss for your football team.
I mean, obviously, Jeff, you played the majority of your career in an incredibly stable locker room, an incredibly stable environment, right? So when you get to this sort of a situation where you've got a player that's so angry and there seems to be no relationship with a coach, what effect does it have on the rest of the locker room?
No, it's huge. And I'll tell you this, Fitz, like we had a lot more than you think that went on. Guys who would be in the middle of contract negotiations and get frustrated, the truth about for us at the Colts is we would all talk to each other, man. I mean, we would, you know, we'd all have conversations, and whether it was me or Ryan Deem or Tarik Glenn or Dallas Clark, you know, Peyton obviously is on a different stratosphere, so you never worried. His contract was never in doubt, but but all the rest of us who had to worry at times, you know, we would have conversations with each other and back each other and give each other, hey, man, full vote of confidence. You know, we're for you. We want the best for you. Obviously, we want the team as well. But you know, making sure that everybody knows that we understand this is a profession. And, you know, we are very fortunate and blessed to play it, and we make a lot of money doing it. And just making sure that we all stay locked arm in arm and so that it doesn't split the locker room. And understanding that now is the time for that to happen. I understand for fans, it's much more, I think, taxing on them than it is actually inside the locker room. Because I think once guys have that and kind of understand, hey, what direction is he headed, and he has that conversation with them, we all kind of put it to bed and go to work, man. You know what I mean? Like, we're all worried about our own 53 jobs. We can't worry about what's happening with him once we know, hey, I'm really going to try to get a deal done. This is my intent. I want to be here with you guys. You know, kind of that whole conversation that guys have, that's what keeps locker rooms together.
And that's why I love having you on, man. It's that insight that most of us will never have if we weren't in them. Jeff, as always, I appreciate your time. Hope you and yours are safe. Thanks so much for joining us, man. Have a great day.
You too, brother. Have a great one.
ESPN NFL analyst Jeff Saturday making some great points. And remember, this is a Jets team, as he said, kindly depleted. This is a Jets team that also, if you're a fan, you feel like they're right on the verge of being able to do something. You believe that you've got a quarterback and the weapons are there, and this is going to be the year that you transcend. So this is a tough pill to swallow for Jets fans, because this is a year where a step is expected. This is supposed to be a year of opportunity. To have these sorts of conversations ruling the conversation about the Jets right now is the sunken feeling for Jets fans and also for the people around the organization, because there's a different level of pressure on Adam Gase this year. There's a different level of pressure on Sam Darnold this year. And there's going to be a lot of heads that roll if the Jets come out and just give us the same old, same old. Coming up next on First Take, Your Take, we've got a little breaking news from NASCAR, the latest update from one of the best in the business that covers it. You'll hear it next. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. You can also just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. See what they say. Get you right to us. Now, we've been asking you how confident you are in the fact that there'll even be an NFL season. Obviously, the big news is that the Hall of Fame game has been canceled. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. In the meantime, we do have more breaking news, and it's regarding NASCAR. Now, I'm not sure if everybody listening is okay if we speak, because we're still getting more information. But with the information we have on hand, we'll continue to make the best judgments and conversations from it and the best assumptions from it that we possibly can. Now, we all know, obviously, what happened over the course of the last several days. It's been talked about ad nauseum. Obviously, the allegations that a noose was found in the work stall for Bubba Wallace at Talladega Super Speedway. Now, then there was a conversation about the fact that there was no noose. It wasn't a noose in any way, shape, or form, which created great debate that you've heard on this show. You heard with Will Kane. We've had our conversations about what the obligation is for the media and speaking the truth and not holding everyone to a higher standard. Well, now we have more truth, and this is why that argument was absurd in the first place, because every time an investigation takes another step, we get more information. What do you know now? We have the picture that NASCAR has released from their photo to the media of the garage pull rope formed as a noose from the Bubba Wallace garage Sunday at Talladega Super Speedway. The image was provided by NASCAR. You cannot look at that. I don't care who you are. You can't look at the image and tell me it's not a noose. We were all stunned when we saw it. So again, the ever-evolving information. Marty Smith went to Twitter, by the way, after hearing from NASCAR president Steve Phelps, and gave several different tweets of information that Steve came out. This is an important one. NASCAR president Steve Phelps says NASCAR conducted a thorough sweep of all 29 tracks where they race, 1,684 garage stalls. They found 11 total ropes. So for everyone that says it's common, they found 11 total out of 1,684. And they found 11 total ropes that had a pull-down rope tied in a knot, and just one noose, the one in Bubba Wallace's garage. Now, none of this changes the fact that it was already there. The noose was not in the garage at the beginning of October 2019, Talladega weekend, but was there at the end. He said it happened sometime during that weekend. They've identified it. They have no idea why people saw it and nobody did anything. Why were people not shocked by it? In fact, NASCAR is going to begin taking on additional training for people so that they know how to react when they see these things. Also, it should be noted, NASCAR President Steve Phelps has taken full responsibility for the phrasing of words used in his initial statement. He said, and this is according to Phelps, some felt the phrasing of words used were not right. I take full responsibility for that. Based on evidence we had, we felt one of our drivers had been threatened. It was our responsibility to react and investigate, and that's what we did. Those are all correct. He did later on point out that the word allegedly could have been used, and if he had it to do over again, maybe using the word, his quote, if we had said alleged regarding the word heinous act, yes, I'll go back to the emotion of the moment. I take responsibility for that. Should we have toned that message down? Maybe we should have. So what we now know, so far, if I'm allowed to opine on that, is that there was a noose hanging in this stall. This stall was arbitrarily assigned to Bubba Wallace. One of Bubba Wallace's people, one of the employees within his group, saw it. When they saw the noose, they took a picture of the noose. They sent it to NASCAR. They cut it down. Then they told Bubba about it. Bubba reacted, I'm presuming, also to the picture. NASCAR reacted, I'm going to presume, also to the picture. Then an investigation was done. And through that investigation, along with the FBI, they were able to find that no heinous crime was committed. No hate crime was committed in this instance. All right. That's what we know. So as we continue every single day to get more details on it, what do to it? We react with the details we have on hand. So for anyone that says that we overreacted day one, because on day two, we find out that it wasn't a noose at all. Now day three, we have a picture. And it's amazing how this constantly works, how suddenly we're expected to think whatever you think we should think every single time we get more information. What we now know from the picture is that there was a noose. If you choose to call the show or tweet me and tell me that's a hoax, don't. You won't get through. I won't let the guys get through. All right. I'm not going to buy that NASCAR photoshopped this entire thing. And if that's the conspiracy theory road you want to go down, go somewhere else. In the meantime, what we are finding out is that somebody hung a noose at some point at a race. And for months, it stayed there. And nobody did anything about it. Now, maybe it's just an unlucky coincidence. It's bad happenstance. I can't believe it. Somehow, someway, Bubba Wallace goes into that particular garage. But I will say again, as I said yesterday, for NASCAR to find this happening to one of their employees that has stood out in opposition of the Confederate flag, that has spoken openly about the death threats that he and his family have received as a result of it, on a weekend, I should say, where we saw Confederate flags being flown outside the racetrack, and we saw somebody actually pay a plane to fly above with defund NASCAR and Confederate flags. In a charged environment, NASCAR saw a picture of a noose, and they reacted to it. If you think that their reaction is the problem here, we're never going to see eye to eye. And I'll stand by the way we've reacted to it every single day. When we got the first information on Monday on this show, we reacted to the solidarity that was created in NASCAR. Something I said to Will yesterday, and I'll say again, something I stand by. We did not go out and accuse anyone of anything. And what NASCAR did in their statement was say a noose hanging is a heinous act and they would get to the bottom of it. They were right, and they did. If you want to find tremendous fault in this, to reverse all of the good that's come from the conversation, if you want to find somebody to blame for everything that's happened right now, I ask you why. Why? Because I will stand by the way that we've reacted to this. I will continue to stand by the way we react to this, and will continue to look for expertise, talk to the best minds I can, and do what I do every single day on this show, which is give you the best opinion I have on whatever's going on with the best information I can possibly get. That's what we're doing here. Coming up, should we be getting nervous about me being able to speak or an NFL season? We'll talk about that next. First Take Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.